We talked about, you know, all this month we've been talking about freedom, but last week we talked about the freedom to approach God. And we talked about some hindrances to that. You know, if we defy God, if we mock God, or if we blame God, obviously that'll keep us from being free to approach God. I don't know how many of you are hikers. I know Jimmy Zito is a hiker extraordinaire, but you know, one thing, if you ever go in the woods and you go off the path, the interesting thing is you're trying to remember everything and you're seeing everything and you keep walking. But the minute you turn around, all of a sudden everything looks different. And that's a mistake many people think. They think that walking, just because you see things, you can remember things looking this way, they assume it's going to look like that when they turn around. And when they turn around, it's different. And all of a sudden, they're lost. And they start panicking. And they, see, in that moment, they need two things. They need the knowledge of where they are. And secondly, they need the knowledge of where they need to go, right? And if they have those two things, they're no longer lost. They're okay, and they'll be fine. Last week when we were talking about freedom to approach God, we talked about God giving us two gifts to guarantee that we can approach Him no matter what we've done. If we have defied Him, if we have mocked Him, if we have blamed Him, He still holds out these two gifts, these two necessary things to take us from being lost to being found. And that is confession and repentance. And I said last week, I wanted us to talk about that because there's a lot of confusion. And let me say this, this is a tailor-made subject for us here. The more and more I talk to people, the more I see that the idea of confession and repentance is not really understood. There's some false ideas, there's some substitutions that we've done with it, and as a result, we're kind of wandering in the woods, individually and spiritually. We think, oh, I know where I'm going, but when we look back, it's like, oh, it's different. How do I get back? How do I do that? So what are these things, confession and repentance? Let's look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Starting in verse 5, John says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness there. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, that is the first thing we need to do to be free to approach God. To be free to say and not be afraid, but know that everything's okay, is I need to confess my sin. Now, you know what confess is? It means to agree with God about it. Confession is not admittance. Anyone can admit something. Oh, I admit I should be nicer. That's not a confession. That's an admission. That doesn't cause you to want to do anything. You're just saying, hey, I admit this. And sometimes when we get caught, yeah, I did it. No, you just got caught. Or you know, if you hadn't been caught, you would continue to do it. So how in the world do I find my way? How in the world can I be free to approach God? I need to learn how to confess. I need to look at things in my life and say, God, let me see it the way You see it. Not the way I see it. Not the way I hope it'll be. I want to see it the way you see it. I want to call it what you call it. Until I do that, I'm not free to approach God. I'm still wandering in the woods. I'm lost my bearings there. So that's important, confession. And the thing is, it's a gift. You don't have to be a certain talent, knowledge, ability. In fact, you don't even have to be a Christian. You can first start and say, you know what? I have messed up and sinned. It's a gift God's given you. And as God is trying to redeem and call people home to Him, as He's preparing them for the next life, He wants us to be able to be in agreement with Him, because in the new creation there will be no sin. If we can't develop conviction about it now, it's not going to happen then. We're not going to be part of that. So He's saying, take hold, confess. It's a gift. You can do it. I can do it. Repentance. Look over at Luke 13. Now, it's one thing to agree with God and say, okay, this is what you say it is, and I agree with you. But then, that ought to cause you to act, right? That ought to cause you to think differently. That ought to cause you to say, I no longer want to do this. I want to go this way. If somehow that hasn't happened, you don't really agree with God at that point. You're still coming up with your own idea about it. But the minute you agree with God, that should spur you on to say, whoa, stop that. I want to go this way. I want to be going toward what He says. And in Luke 13, Jesus was pretty emphatic in verse 1. Back in those days, people felt like if something bad happens to you, that must be because God doesn't like you. He's punishing that. And so people are always trying to figure out, okay, hey, everything's going good. I guess God likes me. No. Bad things happen in this world. Good things sometimes come to bad people. God will allow that. Maybe it'll soften their heart and have them thank Him and come toward Him. But you know, that's no guarantee. Just because everything's going right doesn't mean I'm right. That should be a gift that should make me go, wow, I need to learn more about you, God. And just because things are going wrong and bad doesn't mean necessarily I have sinned or messed up. It's an evil world and things happen. Look at Gethsemane. Look at what Jesus did on the cross. Look at Paul in prison, Peter in prison, all because they were committed. So people are always trying to figure out how to do this, and somehow maybe they can manipulate God. Well, Jesus cuts to the chase in verse 1 of Luke 13. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then He told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." For Jesus, repentance was a pressing matter. Do you realize when He started His public ministry, it was the first thing He said? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Believe the good news. In Jesus' mind, repentance and good news were in the same sentence. Repentance was an opportunity. Repentance was a gift. You know what? We're not victims. We're not stuck. People may sin against us, and that's on them. And God, but we can do something about us. Yeah. We can say, I'm not going to give in to resentment or bitterness or things. I control my response. God's given me the choice. And I can look at this and say, you know, I could be bitter and give myself to it. No, I'm going to change my mind. That's what literally the word for repentance means. Metanoia, to change your mind. Why? Because you're initially going toward darkness, now you're going toward light, going toward God. And Jesus said, you know what? The real issue, repent, turn. That's what redemption, Son of God came in the world to bring all people to Him. On our part, that means we repent. We say, I don't want to go in that direction anymore, the direction of darkness of the world. I want to go this direction, the direction of God. And so you have these two things, confession and repentance, gifts, something you can do. And through those, you are free to approach God in all of your imperfections and all of that. But God said, this is the pathway. When you are stuck, like in the woods, if you're stuck, if someone says, here's a compass, here's a map, now you know where you are and where you need to go, you are no longer stuck. And you're no longer lost. And you're well on your way. Okay? That is what God wants us to experience in our relationship with Him. He doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us to have a best guess. He doesn't want us to kind of find our way around. He wants us to be confident, free to approach. And He's given us these two gifts. Well, let's see this in action. Let's go over to Luke, the 15th chapter. Let's put some flesh and blood on this. Jesus tells this parable. One of the most famous parables of all, the lost son, you know, according to King James, it was the prodigal son. And it's interesting, even atheists, Jewish people, Buddhists, everyone can use the term prodigal son these days. Have you ever noticed that? It's like the Good Samaritan. Everyone uses that term, but this is where it comes from because it is so well known. Verse 11, Luke 15, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out, go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up, went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. There's a flesh and blood example of what it means to confess and repent. Notice the son here. First of all, God respects our freedom of choice. God is no respecter of people. He is a respecter of choices. The son here is tired of being on the father's property, under the father's house, the father's way. So he says, look, I want my inheritance. Give me what is due to me and I'm going to strike off. And he goes, and you know what the father does? The father lets him go. Now why would the father do that? Father respects his choice. May not agree with it, but respects his choice. God does that. We take all of our talents, our abilities, whatever, we tuck it under our arm, and we go off. We don't want to be near the Father. We don't want to do that. We're going to go off and do it ourselves. And so the son goes, and what happens? He spends everything. We find out later on, some of it he was squandering on prostitutes. He was doing things that are not part of the way of the father, that is not the way of life on the father's estate. But he had his free choice, so he did it. And there he is, lost. He's at a place he was not created to be. He's doing things he was not created to do. And he's suffering the consequences. And so he's there for as long as it takes until he takes hold of those two gifts, confession and repentance. He comes to his senses and he says, what? He say, oh, well, bad luck. No, he goes, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I have sinned. You see what? Until you come to that point, you don't do anything. Mm-hmm. Think of the alternatives that were open to him rather than confessing. Well, you know what? I'm kind of, man, I'd like to get that corn cob that hog has. But, you know, this is a bad situation, but at least it's not as bad as Ernie's pig pen. Ernie's got hogs and snakes there, all right? So it's not as bad as it could be. I'll just keep, you know, fighting the hogs for the corn cobs and stuff like that. He could have done that, could have rationalized it. He could have even blamed his father. You know, if my dad had been a real dad, he wouldn't have let me leave. This is always, you know, why did that happen? He could have blamed other people, which probably was true. He squandered everything and probably got taken advantage of. You know what? If these people hadn't done these things, boom, boom. And you know what? That's probably true. Yeah. But guess what? All of the blame in the world, you're still in the pig pen fighting the pigs. Right? He could have rationalized. Well, it's okay. He could have had a false hope. Maybe it'll just get better. Many people, you know, it's an interesting thing. Faith is something all humankind shares in common. We all have faith. We just differ on where we put that faith. Some people have a faith, well, things will get better. We'll define better. I've seen people die very wealthy, die very famous, die very accomplished in this world's eyes. But what happens to the human soul? What was the 30 pieces of silver that got them to go off of the father's estate? What was it? What was it? That you don't recover. That you don't recover. And Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his very soul? What does it profit? Jesus challenges us in perspective, but the son could have just hoped things will get better. But he didn't. He finally says, you know what the real issue is? I have sinned. I have sinned. I have done it. You know, if he hadn't have said that, he would have never gone back. Right. He would have blamed. He would have been angry. He would have resented. He would have done a lot of different things. But he would have stayed in that pig pen. How many times, brothers and sisters, some of the things that we've gotten ourselves into, whether impurities, whether marriage issues, whether family issues, whether work issues. We get it in and it's someone else's fault. No, no, no. What are you doing? Have you called it what God calls it? When he looks down and sees it, what does he say? And until you agree with him, you're going to still be at the pig pen. The minute you say, I have sinned, now, wow. Now I'm going to start doing something about where I am. And that brings us to the repentance part. What did the son do? He got up and he went. We see a literal about face. He changed his mind, but his feet followed his mind. He said, this is bad. My way is bad. God's way is good. And he went back. That's repentance. That is repentance. Just ceasing bad behavior is not repentance. A thief can stop stealing, but maybe he or she has stopped stealing because there's a policeman standing at the corner there. Have they repented of stealing? No, they haven't repented. It's only when they learn to get their own means by their own work, now you know, wow, they're going a different way. They're not taking other people's stuff, they're earning their own. Now they've repented. Now they've changed. How about us? How about us? What's the alternative a lot of times to repentance? I'm weak. You know what? We are weak. But repentance is not based on strength. Right. Repentance is a decision, change of mind. And do you know what a weak person does who's truly weak? They change their mind and they say, oh, help me. Help me. Help me. Do you know what a rebellious person does? They don't really change their mind, and the last thing they do is ask for help. And so what happens? It just stays. Things just stay. And you know, the sad thing about that is it doesn't get better. Stuff starts festering. You know, if I have a cut on my leg, it gets infected, I can cover it. I can put a Band-Aid over it. And so, wow, I've done something good for that cut. Right. But what did it really need? It needed an antibiotic to kill that. You know, I can change my behavior a little bit, but what do I really need? I need to be forgiven. I need to be forgiven of the heart that causes the behavior. And the only way I can do that is I've got to call it what it is and then change my mind, say, God's way is the way, my way is not. God's way is the way in your personal life. God's way is the way in your marriage. God's way is the way in your parenting. God's way is the way in your business. God's way is the way in life. And the prodigal son said it, man, I am going back. And notice he did not have any sense of entitlement. Well, if God's so forgiving, he ought to take me back. There's none of this attitude. And almost like kind of like a resentment. Okay, God, it didn't work, but you know, here I am. Father, I've sinned. I'm not worthy to be one of your high. Let me just work. I'm not worthy to be a sinner. I'll just work here. Because working in the Father's kingdom is a lot better than doing my own thing in the pig pen. That's a necessary part of our faith. God's kingdom is better than the world's way of living. If I don't have that, I can't really turn. So, prodigal son is home, confessed, repented. You know what he's free from? He's now free from two things. He's free from delusion. Last week we talked about the delusion that God would send to the people that continually defy him. There's also a self-delusion. What is delusion? Delusion is when you sincerely think you see something that just, if you'll pardon my southern, ain't so. I'm sincere, I really believe this, but you're wrong. You're deluded. Look at Revelation 3 real quick. We looked at this last week. When we've repented, we no longer, you know, are enslaved to delusions. Revelation 3, we shared about this last week when we were talking about the church at Laodicea and how Jesus was calling them to repent of the lukewarmness. But notice the delusion they had been in. Verse 17. You say, I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. What was the problem there in Laodicea? They were delusional. They were I'm rich. I don't need a thing. I'm good. And Jesus looking at them, you are pitiful, poor, blind. You're not even in the arena. The lukewarmness, that happens to us. That happens to us. I am so convinced that I'm right, but I end up being deluded. God's given us a way to know what's right and not. He's revealed that. But we've got to be open. Once we're free from that, we know that we're doing the right thing. And that's what the prodigal son. He was no longer delusional about where he was or what had happened or all this. Man, he is free. He's free to come home. He's not going to hang out of there anymore. He's free to come back and enjoy being the son of the Father. He's free from the delusional life. And the other thing he's free from is he's free from surprises. I like surprises, but there's some surprises I don't like. Okay? Some surprises, you know, Deb and I, last couple weeks ago, we woke up, one air conditioning had broken. I don't like that surprise. Especially when we're entering into the hottest, you know, week of the summer. At that point, that was a surprise. I don't like that. Now, you want to do something for my birthday? I like that surprise, okay? But some surprises I don't like and I don't want to be. And there is a bad surprise. And that's a surprise at the end of time. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, the prodigal son was set free from bad surprises when he came back to the father. What else is going to happen? The pig pen, how bad will it get? He didn't picture that. I'm sure the pig pen was a surprise. Okay. He's free from all the bad surprises. He's back with the Father. Look at us. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I did not like that passage the first time I read it. It did not seem fair to me. It did not seem good to me. It did not seem kind to me. And then I looked at my life and it made a lot of sense to me. Because I enjoy telling God what His will is. You know, God, this is your will that I prophesy in your name. And God, this is your will that I'll drive out demons and perform many miracles in your name. See, God, I'm going to do these things and you bless that. Because what more do you want of me? But what did Jesus say? There's no reason for the surprise. He says, many say to me, Lord, Lord, but they don't do the will of God. And you know who tells me the will of God? God tells me the will of God. He's revealed the will of God here. It's not left up to me to decide. I may decide some things that are the will of God. Let me help this person. Oh, that's good. That's the will of God. But sometimes my choices are put in place to block out God's real choices for my life. And that's where we end up surprised. The prodigal son, there are no more bad surprises. He's going to be back with the Father. He's free. He's free. He's not going to have to worry, you know, I should have done better. How many times have we lived the almost life? I almost was going to change. I almost was going to do this. I almost was going to almost do it. Do it! What is the will of God? Seek that. And you're not going to always have to wonder, oh boy, I don't feel good about where I am, right? But maybe it'll pass. It's not. Confession and repentance, they're gifts. They wipe it clean. And you get to do it over and over and over again. But you've got to do it. I watched one of my favorite movies, Chariots of Fire. And there's a part in it, if you're unfamiliar with it, I can't go into all the details, but let me just say this. True story, 1924 Olympics, Eric Liddell going to run in the 100-meter dash. The problem was, in Eric's belief system, on Sunday, you don't do anything. You no work, no running, no athletics, nothing. Now, I'm not here to talk theologically about that, but that's just what he believed in honoring Christ. He's going to the Olympics, finds out that the heats for the 100 meters are on Sunday. And then the semifinals are like Tuesday and the finals are Wednesday. And he says, I can't run in this. I mean, he's already on the team. Britain is counting on him. And the newspapers went nuts. He refused to compete because of that. Refused. He didn't care what Britain thought. He didn't care. People tried to talk to him about patriotism. People tried to talk to him about duty. People tried to talk to him about sacrifice. All of this. It was what he believed about God, and nobody was going to move that. And people went nuts. And he didn't compromise at all. They finally came up with an idea. Why don't we let him run in another race, you know, that the heat's on another day? And they did, and he won, you know, the gold medal. But it was interesting, right there at the finals, the scene in this movie, his friend, who was couldn't believe he did it either, is looking at them as they're about to watch the finals, knowing that Eric probably could have gotten a gold medal in this one, too. And his friend looks at him and sees all the guys getting ready to run and goes, you got any regrets about not being out there with them? And he goes, regrets, sure. But no doubts. No doubts. Prodigal son was free from surprises because now he was free from doubts. He knew he was heading in the right direction. He knew he wasn't hiding anything. He knew he wasn't kind of going back and forth. He knew it. Brothers and sisters, how about us? How about us? We're not perfect. You will need continual forgiveness, and God's given you gifts for that. Jesus always lives for you. You get to just confess, agree with God about it, and you get to repent. These are things you get to do. They're gifts, but they're gifts that have to happen or else you're still wandering in the woods and you're not free to approach God. You know one thing, I don't mind people coming in and looking at our fellowship and seeing things that could be done better. I welcome that. But for their soul salvation, what I want people to see is, number one, we love one another. That's what Jesus said, right? But also, number two, they see a bunch of people that are living life just like them, that struggle just like them, that have things to change just like them, but they see a bunch of people that are confessing their sin, calling it what it is, repenting and helping one another do it. Because when they see that, they will see freedom to approach God. They will see a way to the Father's house. Not because we're great, but because God revealed it to us. Confession, repentance, God's gift to us.